Today is Saturday, the 25th of March 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 75th session on Mindfulness for Beginners. And to our fortune, we have Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero representing Nisaravane Forest Monastery joining into today's session representing the monastery. So, on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome with much respect Bhante into today's session. And also, I would like to welcome all those of you who are joining through Zoom and live streaming through the Satipatthala Foundation's Facebook webpage. Our program will go on dedicating today on its own to impart with valued guidance and insight on how to develop mindfulness through the basic practices of mindful walking and mindful sitting and also daily practice. So the structure of the program to enable that will be first an in-session mindfulness practice guided by Bhante, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness. Today's theme will be on how to deal with conflict or dealing with conflict. Then we will move on to the session where questions written and verbal will be presented to Bhante for his insight and insightful advice. And then we will be able to wrap up the program for today. So with that, I would like to invite Bhante to commence with the in-session mindfulness practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everybody. So we will take some time to do a mindful activity today. For this, you need a piece of paper and a pen. So quickly gather a piece of paper and a pen. And when you are ready, you can use the Zoom hand to show that you are ready. And if you are willing, you can turn on the camera as well. Okay, I think most of you are ready to start the activity. So let me explain the activity like this. Now, when we experience the world, in a way, we are programmed to experience the world in a different ways. We are programmed. It's not like we think and do. Instead, we are programmed to experience the world differently. So if we are programmed to experience the world differently, no amount of information will make us agree on certain matters. Why? Because basically we see it differently, we experience it differently. So when it comes to our topic for this month, dealing with conflict. Now, most of the issues that we face, the conflict that we face, they are unique to us. Something that is annoying for you might not be annoying for somebody else. Something that creates conflict for you might not create conflict for somebody else. Why? Because we experience the world differently. We are programmed to view the world in a certain way. So if we are programmed in a different way to view the world, then on certain matters, there's no way that we can agree. No amount of information will allow us to agree. So let's take some time thinking, reflecting on this matter, and probably gather some information on the piece of paper that you have collected. All right, so this is the question that I'm going to ask. You have to think for yourself and try to put some data, put some information on that piece of paper. So the question I'm going to ask is that, What is conflict like for you? How do you experience the conflict? What are the things that annoy you? What are the things that create friction when you deal with your day-to-day lives? So think about it. Try to put some information on that piece of paper. So we are going to think about it a little. What are the things that create conflict in your day-to-day life? What are the things that annoy you in your day-to-day life? And you can note down some things that come to your mind. When you try to answer the question, what conflict is like for you, you can think about certain areas of your life. Probably family life, dealing with your spouse, dealing with your children. You may have various things come to your mind. Then in addition, workplace. Then probably some other areas of your life. Health. Then probably spirituality, another aspect of your life. So think about various areas and list down the things that come to your mind. So that way we will try to get some information on this matter. Okay, if you are ready, now we can take turns trying to share our own ideas, our own views on this. So if you are ready, you can use the Zoom hand and we will take turns sharing the ideas. Okay, we will start with Bandula.
Sorry, Bande. I have a full list of things to tell, but I just put summarize mostly conflict with me. I have with the family, sometimes my kids not listening to me. Actually, I like to teach them Dhamma, but they don't want to listen, including my wife. They want to have a chat with the Dhamma discussion, so sort of some conflict. So I have some conflict with time management as well. So I want to finish XYZ so many things in a day, but I finish not even half of that. So sometimes I struggle with time. Then there are some health issues. Sometimes I won't have a very nice sleep, full night sleep, but I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes. These are the things just get into my head, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing. I think all of us can relate to those things. Now, when it comes to the practice, we want to teach other people, but they are not interested. They are not interested. So same thing happens to the monks as well. They want to teach other people, but the people, they are not interested. They don't care about the practice. So probably we have to find a way how to deal with such situations. Maybe they are not ready to accept the present yet. So you have to wait till the right moment. Otherwise, it'll create conflict, as you mentioned. They want something else, you want something else. So there is conflict. In addition, health issues, of course. We want certain things, but we can't get it. Especially health, we expect to live 100 years in this comfortable way and then probably die during our sleep. But that's not how it's going to happen, right? Instead, you get various illnesses. Pain is there. You can't sleep properly. So it creates friction. It creates conflict. So that's another area. So various areas are there. I think all of us can relate to these things. So something that creates conflict in your life might not create conflict in somebody else's life. They might not worry about those things. For example, telling other people about the practice, teaching other people the practice. Somebody else might not care about it. They are concerned, they are focused on their own practice. They don't care about teaching it to the other people. So then it might not create conflict for them. So you can see we are experiencing the world differently, uniquely, and that very uniqueness creates most of the issues. That very experience creates most of the issues. So thank you for sharing. Let's see what others have to say. Yes, Chamari.
Thank you, Bande. So I have more of maybe the inner conflict I'm recognizing. So I'm finding it difficult. The friction between what the world is expecting of me and what I find useful for myself, like the socializing, those things are okay once in a while, but to the degree they do it in my family and my extended family, it always ends up me feeling frustrated, annoyed, irritated. And then untidy surroundings, they just make me feel low or upset. Then again, I'm disappointed with myself because I'm taking on too much work at work. I don't have to, but it's just out of habit I seem to be doing it and, finding I'm blaming myself afterwards. I need to know maybe earlier and earlier before I take those things on. And when one of the other things is when others' views are really very different from mine and continuously different from mine, and I'm around them much of the time. Those are what I've written down.
Okay, thank you for adding. Now, the things the other people, things the world expect from us, in a way how they would expect us to behave and what we want or what we are doing. So there's conflict always. I can also relate in my lay life most of the time. Certain things I had to do because of the world, because of the other people in my life, because of their expectations. But being a monk, you have given it up, so it's much easier for me to behave the way I want or to behave the way that is natural to me. So when you live with a family, when you have a job, when you have friends, maybe it's another thing that creates friction. You want certain things, but other people, they want something else for you. They want you to behave in a different way. So it definitely creates conflict, right? So those are the things. And work probably, although you take too much work, if you can do it happily, then it's fine. If you're exhausted, if you're unhappy towards the end of the day, then you might have to think about it. So you can see how various things relate to us. Now, for Bandula, it was something else. For you, it's something else. I'm sure others might too have different ideas. So that's how it works. And we will see what others have to say. Hiranti.
Thank you, Bhante. What I wrote was, what annoys me is I sometimes make mistakes, and because due to hastiness, I jump, and then later on, I regret. That has calmed down a bit, really, now, because I'm following these programs. I take my time and then react. The other thing is when the cleanliness, and I am very tidy and very clean, but when others around me are not like that, they just don't care. That annoys me. And I always wish I should try somehow or other and end the samsara merely because these conflicts happen due to circulating in samsara. And it is, I always try to relate to cause and effect the way my life is happen due to the things I have done in the past. I always try to relate. And the health as well. I wish I have taken most of the sports activities like gym and all these activities which I'm doing now earlier. So I have this thing about regretting for what I haven't done, which are good now. That is one thing which is calming down and reducing, but to not to that extent. Still, I have the urge to feel, oh, I wish I have done this before, or I wish I didn't do it like that. The spirituality is very important to me now. I feel that I should have been a nun. I shouldn't have got married. I should have committed the whole of my life to be a nun. And then that way, I would have been much nearer to the Nibbana, I feel. That is something. So those are the things which came to my mind, Bhante. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for adding. You worry about the past a lot and probably about the practice that you should have been a monk instead of a lay life, right? So you become a nun, then probably you start to wonder whether you have done the right thing. Probably you should go back to the lay life. So that's how it works. Always thinking, worrying. You are not happy here and now. Instead, you think about some other place, think about some other time, and imagine that you'll be happy there. So that is our very practice. If you are happy, you have to be happy and peaceful here and now. Not in some other time, not in some other place. Instead, you are happy here and now. So that's the very practice. And thinking about the past is going to some other place, worrying. Even practice can create a lot of friction. That's something valuable that you have added. Because we think that this will bring peace. And you start meditating, you start practicing. But after a while, you feel that it has created, the very practice has created a lot of friction, a lot of conflict in your day-to-day life. Probably without meditation, somebody else might survive better. Because of the practice, because of the meditation, you create a lot of friction. So that is very valuable that you have added. This is a problem that comes to most of the full-time practitioners. So although you are not a monk, although you are not a nun, you have a problem that is more common to nuns, right? They are full-time practitioners, and they create a lot of friction out of the practice. So in a way, we are caught in the same endless cycle, and we are caught in a different way. Not the sensual pleasure. Instead, we are caught in some views. Views about the practice. Views about the right and wrong. Views about meditation. Various things are there. So you can see how even the very practice will create the practice that is supposed to bring us peace. Will create a lot of friction, a lot of conflict in our life. So these things, it's valuable that we take some time to think about them, reflect upon them. Thinking, reflecting might help. We can sort them out a little and try to move in some new direction. So thank you for adding. I can see one more hand, Shanaka.
Thank you.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I am having trouble hearing. Namantha, can you hear?
Hello.
Oh, yes, even I'm having some trouble hearing.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you, but there's a bit of blur.
It's a bit blur. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe you won't see my head. I'll speak to the microphone. Okay. So when conflict means to me, it's more when I am in an emotional state and that I have got triggered by something. And normally when I perceive or feel that there's a perceived injustice or unfairness that I've created in my mind. So sometimes conflict is when I'm tired or I've been doing something stressful or uncomfortable that I'm in the process of doing, or when I blame myself for something, then I see the tendency of conflict to be greater during those times.
Okay, thank you for adding. Now, that's another part. We want justice, right? We want fairness in this world. When that is not happening, usually it creates a lot of friction. That's why probably the wars are there in the world. Now, these ongoing conflicts, you can see two parties, they have two different views. And each of the party, they are justifying their own view. And they are fighting, killing other people, destroying certain things. So that's how the world is. That is the world. Justice we are expecting from the world. We want things to be in a certain way. And if it is not, then it creates stress, conflict. Then probably you become emotional. So in this practice, we say, now, the practitioner, usually when they start practicing, they are not blind, they are not unaware. Instead, they become more and more aware. Once you start your practice, you can see, once you start being mindful, you can see that you are more and more aware. That very awareness will show you more and more issues in the outside world. Because now you are aware, you see things. You hear things clearly. You find blame in other people. And when you are aware, you find your faults as well. Right? That will create sometimes shame. That will create blaming oneself. Right? So in a way, when we are mindful, we find other people's faults. We find our own faults. And it becomes more and more uncomfortable. So some of the people, they mentioned that being unmindful is easier because you are ignorant towards these things. You don't notice, you don't feel so much friction. So in a way, when we are mindful, when we are aware, we feel a lot more friction. We see other people's faults more and more. We see our own faults more and more. But in the practice, we consider it as a good thing. Instead of reacting, we are aware, we observe. It is said that the mindful person, the practitioner, they see things with their eyes. They are fully aware about them. They hear sounds. They are fully aware about them. They sense things. They are fully aware about them. They can think properly, but they stay like a blind person. They stay like a deaf person. Sometimes they even stay like a dead person and try to navigate this world. So it's not like you are blind, you are aware. Being blind and not seeing is easier, but seeing clearly and still be like a blind. Hearing clearly, still you be like a deaf person. Just for the sake of the practice. So in the practice, we consider it as a good thing. You are more and more aware. You feel more and more friction. You find other people's faults. You find your own faults. We consider it as a good thing. You continue with your practice. Don't try to react so swiftly. Instead, just keep on observing. It is a good thing that you are feeling friction. It is a good thing that you are noticing these things, because now you are aware. That's a sign of awareness. That's a sign of mindfulness. The very first sign sometimes, right? But we somehow continue with the practice. We keep on observing. Once you mature into a certain level, it becomes tolerable. You can somehow manage with the situation. You know that it is not the fair thing to do. But somehow it happened. You know this is not the justice. But somehow it happened. In a way, you are aware, but you are not reacting. So that is the very essence of practice. So thank you for adding it. You can see when you practice more and more, you can overcome this difficulty. You know that the injustice is there. You know this is not fair, but still you can manage it. You have the strength to manage the situation. So little by little, we gather that strength. Okay, so that's the activity for today. The idea of the activity was to just see how conflict is for different people. See how different things create conflict in different lives. The very reason being, we experience the world differently. Sometimes the very same incident, two people experience it differently, and due to it, there's conflict. Okay, so you can take some time thinking about these things. You can take some time probably taking some corrective measures in your life, and gradually you can improve your practice. It's not like you are blind to these things. Instead, you are aware. Sometimes you know that you make mistakes, but that very knowing will protect you. You still make mistakes, but you know that you make mistakes. The friction is there, but you know that there's friction. So that way, we will gradually keep practicing with the light of mindfulness, with the help of awareness. You can navigate these situations much better. So thank you for participating. And with that, Namanta, we can move forward.
Oh, thank you very much, Merit Panthi, and wonderful session for as a starter into the in-session practice in this way. Thank you so much. So we will then move on to the question and answer session as per our schedule. I would like to invite Gihanta to commence the question and answer session and present reports to Bhante. Over to Gyanth.
Thank you, Namantha. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Namantha, are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Before we look at the reports for this week, I will share with you some basic guidance for the Mindfulness for Beginners program. As you would have noticed, two of the key aspects of developing our mindfulness is mindful walking and mindful sitting. So the Nissan Manre Monastery has provided basic instruction videos on these two forms of practice. And you can see the links on the slide here, which have also been shared by Namantha in the chat. So mindful walking and mindful sitting. Once you have looked at these videos, you can allocate a small time during the day, half an hour to an hour to begin with, and start practicing mindfulness, walking and sitting. And then you can develop that practice for at least 2 hours each day as you go along. One of the key aspects that we're often reminded in this session is to then submit reports of our experience of the mindful walking and sitting meditation. You can write your mindfulness experience and training under the various titles of mindful walking, sitting, and mindfulness during the day, describing what you felt, what you recognized, your posture, the thoughts that come through, and of course, describing prominent sensations whilst walking, such as texture of the ground, pressure points, how the body weight shifted from one leg to another. And then for sitting, there are, again, you can focus on sensations, the incoming and outgoing breath, and so on and so forth. Once you've concluded your report, you can submit it either through a Google form or via email. And again, these instructions have been provided to you in the chat, and you can see it on the screen as well. Another very helpful feature of this program is that in case you miss the program on a particular day, recordings are also available from the Nisarnavane website. So some basic guidance there. I will now turn to the reports for today. And we have two reports from adults. And each report focuses on these three aspects that I mentioned earlier of mindful walking, mindful sitting, and mindfulness during the day. I'll start with the first report. Mindful walking. Walked barefoot on wooden floor, where part of the path had a long rug. Temperature difference between wooden floor and the rug was prominently noted at the beginning. Wooden floor, cold, and the rug, warm. Texture difference also noted. Wood felt hard in contact with soles of feet, and the rug felt soft. When thoughts arose, mind naturally returned to sensations of moving feet. There were few times when the proliferation happened with the thoughts as well. Noted the overall feeling in the mind, which was one of dissatisfaction. Walked for 25 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the body into a comfortable position. Breath appeared soon after, which was prominently felt around the nostrils area. In-breath was cooler and out-breath was warmer. Mind stayed with the rhythm of breathing for some time. Previous contemplations from a Dhamma talk started to proliferate in the mind. Noted these as thoughts, but it was harder to return to the sensation of breath. Data from that talk continue to come in the mind. Notice these thoughts without adding anxiety or judgments. After a while, attention moved back to breath. Slight movement back and forth of upper body also noted. noted the rise and fall of breath, the thoughts, the slight movement of upper body, and also the rise and fall of points of pressure in the body. Sat for 50 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. More and more internal conflicts noted during last week. Maybe this is how the mind usually is, but possibly noticing more of the inner landscape because of this month's focus being dealing with conflicts. A common inner conflict was about while in the middle of an action wanting to do something else. Noted how this conflict was generating low-level anxiety and annoyance. For example, while putting clothes in the wash, wanting instead to resume listening to the talk that was paused earlier. Another time, while in the middle of preparing food, wanting to attend to a report from work instead. Noted this restlessness in the mind multiple times. There is also a general feeling of dissatisfaction about things in the mind. Too many repetitive daily actions, which don't seem to have a finishing point. For example, cleaning, washing, cooking, eating, going to work, etc. Sometimes it feels like being in a time loop, like in the film Groundhog Day, where the day keeps repeating. Sometimes this feels funny. At other times, it brings up the urge to get out of the loop. Maybe this is an inner conflict too, although it gives more energy and determination to practice mindfulness more, which feels more meaningful at present. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to Bhante and the organizers. End of report.
Okay, now let me start with the walking and sitting practice. Now, while walking, you feel the ground. You observe the texture of the wooden floor as well as the rug. Then while sitting, you feel the breath, ingoing and outgoing breath, the temperature differences you feel. Now you know your primary object. You know how to maintain your awareness there. Now when you start your practice, when you practice for some time, you start to feel that the thoughts are there. Storytelling is there. Thoughts are proliferating in your mind. And sometimes you feel it is harder to return to the breath or to the sensations at your feet. Now, when you have matured in your practice into this level, you don't really have to return to the primary object so urgently. Instead, you can comfortably be aware what is happening. You can see thoughts, storytelling. Right? So allow it to happen while you being aware. Because you have matured in your training into a certain level. Now, when you go to like production floors, the factories, there's this concept of a fire drill. They create a fire assembly point. They put up a board. And they even do fire drills. They ring that fire alarm and ask people to go to that assembly point, right? They create pathways to go. They mark them on the floor. This is the shortest path from this place to the fire assembly place, right? So that way they are trained. That training is given. They are doing fire drills, preparing themselves for a fire, right? So once that training is done, they don't have to stay in the fire assembly place forever. Otherwise, the factory will not work. The production will stop because all the people are gathered in the fire assembly place. They say it's safe. I know it's safe. It is true. But you can't stay there forever, right? Instead, you have to go to the risk. You have to go to the factory floor. You have to start working. When there is a danger, you know where to go. When there is a fire, you know the shortest path. Right? So that is the purpose of the training. Otherwise, if you try to stay in the fire assembly place forever, then the things won't work. The production won't work. That is not how it is functioning, right? So know the fire assembly place. Know how to go back, go to that place, the shortest path. Know that path. Train yourself again and again with fire drills. When the bell is rang, this is the path I'm taking. This is how I go to the fire assembly place. Once you are properly trained, once you have matured in that training, you can go to the factory. You can go to the risk and, you know, keep, you stay there. So allow the thoughts to proliferate. Don't try to return to the primary object. Instead, be there. After a while, you can see naturally it is returning. So that was there in your writing. You mentioned after a while it is naturally returning. So that's the practice. That's how you can develop confidence. Otherwise, all the time you are trying to go to the fire assembly place, trying to protect yourself. That's not how it goes, right? You have to develop confidence in your practice. This is how you will develop confidence. Train yourself initially, then just allow the mind to proliferate and see, can I be mindful among these things? Can I still have confidence when the thoughts are there, when the storytelling is there? So that is how you develop your ability in the practice. So you have matured into a certain level. The remaining part is much easier. Now you know the basic practice. Now allow the mind to be. Just allow the meditation to continue and just be with the process. Right? You can see thoughts are proliferating. It goes and goes telling stories. Then suddenly it comes back to the primary object, the breath or the steps. Again it goes. Again, it comes back to the primary object. You are mindful in this process. That is the true practice when you move forward. Then the remaining part. Now, as you mentioned, when you are aware, you can feel more and more conflict. And the reason being that very awareness. So it is true. When we pay attention, we can see so many conflict is there in a day. Even when we talk to people, there's conflict. When we do things, there's conflict. When we are alone, there's conflict. Always the conflict is there. You notice them better when you are aware. Earlier also they were there, but you didn't notice. Probably you only notice the side effects of the conflict. You notice the stress, you notice the anxiety. Those are more like side effects. But now you notice the source or the cause of that anxiety or the cause of that stress. So that's a good sign. As you mentioned, it is correct to say that you are noticing more and more because of the practice. Not that conflict is new. Instead, you are noticing them much more. You are more attentive. So that's a very good sign. That's a very good sign that you keep on observing. In a way, it feels like a wound sometimes. Yeah. Pain in aching, kind of a wound that's on our skin. Again and again, it pains. Again and again it aches. But we keep on observing. So that's the way of the practice. That's why most people don't like this practice. Instead, they want something else, some other blissfulness. They don't want to be aware. Or they don't want to wake up to the reality. When you wake up to the reality, it is always friction. It's like a wound that is pain in aching. One moment this wound is better. You feel like it's healing. Next moment it is again pain in aching. After a while you worry, what is happening with this? Is it healing or not? Will I have to cut my leg? Something like that. You wonder. After a while again you feel better. Again it pains aches. So this is how it is. Sometimes you wonder whether it's going to end. You doubt whether it's healing. So that's the very process. It is painfully slow. Right? So gradually you have to work. Every day, in a way, you are accepting this wound. In a way, you are accepting this friction. In a way, you are accepting this pain in aching. When you accept, although the wound is there, it doesn't create so much friction in your mind. You have accepted the wound. You have accepted the pain, aches. So that's how practice is. If I say it's healing, probably not true. Instead, I would say you are probably accepting the wound. You are probably accepting the pain and aches. And when you accept, there's no more conflict. There's no more friction in your mind. You have accepted it and you have taken it as a part of your life. So that's the very practice. Thank you for adding your comments. And continue like this and probably you can report back again.
Thank you, Bhante. I now move on to the second report, also three sections within it. Walking meditation. Initially stood noting weight of body on both feet, more prominent on one side. Started walking, noting left, right feet being placed and then lifting, moving and placing. Then observed the end of each of the lifting, moving and placing movements. Towards the end of the session, noted colder sensations on top of feet and warm sensations on the soles. Mind stayed mostly on the feet with occasional distractions from sounds, thoughts, and walked for an hour. Sitting meditation. Watched breath as primary object. After noting in and out breaths, observed cooler in and warmer out breaths. The in breath longer than out breath, then becoming equal. There was a sensation of tickling in one nostril and then in the outer side of the same nostril. Noted mind remembering to stay with breath as this unpleasant sensation is temporary and would pass. Then a sensation of the nostril being absent on that side noted, but breath continued merging with the air outside. This happened on the other nostril too, but breath continued with a sensation of an absence of part of the face. Mind calm and meditated till bell went off 45 minutes. Final part, mindfulness in daily life. Busy helping family member at her house. Noted greed arise with regards to food on several occasions. Mind was noted to be calm during day and despite being very busy, noted regular contemplation of the true nature of things such as watching the suffering that comes from attachment. Noted mind using time to reflect on death, 32 parts of body, impermanence, non-self and dukkha, recite gathas, suttas and noting contentment in the mind. Observed increasing patience and less irritation compared to the past and increase in energy levels despite lack of sleep and lots of physical work. Also noting temperature changes on hands when washing, making tea, noting placing of feet and different sensations on feet when doing housework or walking up and down stairs, heaviness when carrying things. Also noted when mild irritation arose at doing a task, how mind turned it into an opportunity to help and was glad that there was still the physical ability and presence to do so. Was not sure if this was a deceptive thought or panchakadam. End of report.
Okay, now earlier, we appreciated the thinking mind. We appreciate the thoughts that are proliferating. But once you hear the practice, once you know the way of the practice, you don't appreciate the thinking processes anymore. You don't appreciate being in the present, being in the future or the past anymore. Instead, now you know this is something that you shouldn't encourage, you shouldn't appreciate. In a way, your view changes. Earlier, you encouraged these thought processes. Earlier, you encouraged these proliferating thoughts. When you hear the word mindfulness, you no longer encourage the thinking mind. Instead, you have a different view. That doesn't mean that it will stop. Instead, it will continue again and again. In the power of habit, the process will continue. But you are no longer appreciating it. You are no longer encouraging it. That is the value of the practice. We call it the right view. You have the right view. Earlier you had the wrong view. You encouraged this thinking mind. You consider it as a luxury. But now you consider being present as a luxury. And you are no longer encouraging this thinking mind. So that is the right view in the practice. When you hear the word mindfulness, when you get the idea, that right view will appear. With that view, although you have the view, mind is not listening. It is going according to the habit. Again and again thoughts, again and again future planning, again and again wandering mind. But now you have a different view towards this wandering mind. Earlier you tried to encourage it, now you are not encouraging it anymore. Instead you just observe. You just be aware of what is happening. It's like a CCTV camera that is recording. You see certain areas, they have this board saying that CCTV cameras are working. Once you see that board, although you can't see the camera, you are in a way, you behave a certain way. Because you know that you are on camera. You know that it is recording. Some places they don't have the camera. They just have the board. Just telling people that CCTV cameras are there. No cameras, just the board. But still, the people are behaving because they think that they are on camera. Similarly, this mind is also, we are watching. Like a CCTV camera, we are watching. Right? We are watching what is happening. Okay, thinking, thinking, thinking. Conflict, conflict, conflict. Again and again we observe. That observation we are encouraging. We give power, authority to that observation. And when you try to give power to that observation, when you try to give power to mindfulness, the awareness, you feel it is so shy. It is not accepting this power. It is again and again going somewhere hiding. This quality, it is really difficult to empower. So that's why the repetitive practice is needed. Again and again you practice. Every day you reserve 40, 50 minutes of formal practice. Every day you try to do your daily activities more and more mindfully. That way you have to continue for a few months, probably a few weeks. Then you can see that this quality improving, strengthening, little by little, it is taking the control. Earlier, it shied away. Now it is taking some control. Now you have strengthened it enough. It is controlling the situation. It is protecting the mind. So gradually you give authority, gradually you empower, gradually you give power to this quality of mindfulness, the quality of the observation. You are not judging, you are not deciding. Instead, you just observe. Good things are happening. People come and, you know, try to be kind, generous. That's fine, you observe. Bad things are happening, people come and step other people. You just observe. You are not judging. Good things are happening, you observe. Bad things are happening, you observe. You are not judging. The camera continues its work. That's the very practice. That is how you develop this. Gradually, you keep on observing. Without judgment, you continue your observation. And when you give enough power, when you strengthen this quality of mindfulness enough, then you can see no matter what comes to your mind, you are protected. No matter what illness comes to you, you are protected. No matter what type of a pain comes to you, you are protected. You are protected with this quality of mindfulness. The quality to be aware, the quality of the observer. And once the authority is given to mindfulness, once the authority is given to this quality, no matter what comes, still you are protected. Various diseases come to you, still your mind is not moved. Your family members die, your mind is not moved. The world is on fire, still your mind is not moved. Because you are not judging, because you are not deciding, instead you just keep on observing. You have empowered the observer instead of the incidents that are happening, instead of the judgment that is happening. Instead of deciding whether this is good or bad, you are empowered. You have empowered the observer. So that is the practice we are gradually developing. Those are the qualities of this practice that we are doing. So in your report, you can see that it is taking control little by little. You are empowering it little by little. So keep on doing it. Keep on strengthening this practice, and one day you realize no matter what are the things that come, no matter what's the illness that come, no matter the family members die, no matter the world is on fire, your mind is not moved. It is not shaken because of the quality of mindfulness, because of the power of that observer. So continue practicing and you can experience it more and more in future.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for the very personalized and clear feedback you've shared with the audience today in terms of the reports that have been shared this morning. We're very privileged to continue to benefit from your insight. And experience. Thank you so much. Now, Amanda, how much time do we have for questions?
We can just maybe one or two questions, quick questions if there are any.
Okay, thank you, Amanda. So may I now open the forum for questions from anybody who is keen to ask any questions around the reports or the themes discussed so far. Yes. Samantha, go ahead. Please ask your question.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you, Bhante, for the wonderful advice you gave today and the whole session. I learned a lot. And I was just want to just clarify now this mindfulness, the power of the mindfulness. Now, the power of the mindfulness. So if like I was experiencing a problem yesterday, and I could see during the day, the more I thought about the problem, it was affecting me. I was getting wound up and wondering what to do, and the whole day was like that. And my moods and also were affected how I related to the other surrounding people around me as well. But nevertheless, the issue was there. So I, obviously that was in front of me. So I was just thinking about it, how to handle it during the day. Then strangely this morning, so during the day, I was wondering now, to ease my problem, should I just forget what the issue is and then just go on, do my normal activities, like just watching the washing up and whatever I had, and then taking my mind away from the problem. But then this morning when I woke up, the problem was less and I wasn't really bothered about the situation anymore. So look, to a certain extent, when I thought about it, the situation would proliferate, but otherwise the intensity was less. So how would, when Bhante said that with mindfulness, you get the answer, does the answer just come to you, or do you need to actually inject some right view or right thinking to deal with the situation, Bhante? If you could just clarify, please.
Okay, so reflecting on it helps, right? Thinking helps. But there is a process always, you know. That's why you can't really solve a problem. You just have to give it some time and it will naturally solve itself, right? So that's why we say now you can't really forgive and forget. Instead, naturally, when your mind lets go of the situation, it is already forgiven. So initially you forget, as you mentioned, then it is forgiven, right? Otherwise, you think that, okay, I'll forgive you and I'll forget this incident. But still, your mind keeps on thinking about it. Your mind keeps on worrying about it. But when your mind is ready, it will naturally let go. And once the incident is forgotten, you can see the forgiveness is there, right? So that's why the time is important. That's why somehow distracting your mind with healthy things is important. When I say distracting, you might get confused, but I say healthy distractions, right? Probably doing your day-to-day things, probably exercising, probably going on a walk. Instead of judging, instead of deciding, instead of solving this problem, you take your sweet time. And when you take your time, naturally you can feel that your mind is recovering from this incident. You have to allow that time. Once your mind is recovered, although you try to think about it, it won't last. That's the natural process. That's how you observe it. You try and forcefully think about it. Thoughts proliferate, but it won't last. Earlier, you could have thought about this for a day or for a few days. Now, it is not happening anymore because your mind naturally has recovered. So, reflecting various right view, various things help, but you have to allow the time. You know that the friction is there. You have to go through that friction. With your past experience, you know that there is an end to this. You know that it will end. But that very going through that experience is difficult. You want to magically appear in the other end. But that's not how it works. Instead, you suffer. Instead, you go through this friction. And one day you realize your mind has let go. That's why we say letting go is a natural process. You can't really force it. Only support you can give, the help you can give is being aware, having patience. You endure with your practice. That is the only support you can give. The aching is there, the friction is there, worrying is there. But somehow you endure it. Then you realize next time when it comes, you have more confidence. Because you have gone through this once. Now you know there is an end to it. You know there's light at the end of the tunnel. So with that faith, with that confidence, you continue to the second time, to the second experience. When it comes for the third time, it will be much easier. Now you have more and more confidence. So that way, gradually you keep on practicing. Gradually you realize the more you practice, the more confident you'll become. Faster your mind will recover. This is the quality of the resilience in your mind. The only support you can give is being present. The mind will take its sweet time to recover, right? So keep on practicing. Try to be present more and more. Try to be the observer. Know that there is friction. Continue through the friction. Go through the storm and you come out from the other end much faster.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Bhante. So basically, just we'll take time. So just to face head on whatever the situation is, and I have to be brave and patient, knowing that what I've experienced, there will be a change, but just in the meantime, just to lessen the pain, divert it to whatever action, like jogging, walking, or washing the dishes, and then see gradually how the problem shifts during the course of the day or days, basically. But resilient.
Sometimes it is difficult to take it head on, right? So that's why you have to change your direction a little.
Thank you, Bhante. That's brilliant. Sadhu.
Thank you, Bhante, again for your very personalized response. Any further questions from participants today? Go ahead, Bandula.
Okay, Bhante, since today is the last day for the discussing conflict, I thought I had to just share this. So I've been trying to looking the conflict inside Bhante. But what I noticed, most of the conflicts are happening, it's not even it's related to outside, say like even for my kids, my wife, neighbor, whatever it is, but actually it is inside thing. Say, for example, say an incident happened, but after that we take it inside, it happened 1,000 times inside. So every time, if you are not present, if you are not in the present moment, those things sparked up inside and start giving the commentary. So if you look at back, why it is happening, so I try to see some of the conflict. So it is the conflict inside. Either there is something, I might say it is something to do with the desires or wanting to do something, or it is maybe it's my ignorance, say like it's me, or it's my family, or it's me, or my world, or my something to related to with the ego. So those two things shifting regularly. So either if you are not fully mindfulness, or if you are not in the present moment, so the it takes an opportunity to tell the story inside. So I thought it's a conflict is more even if the things it started outside, but actually the conflict is within inside thing. So I'd like to get some of your feedback, Bhante, some of your advice. Thank you.
Yes, so your observation is valid. It's a matter of inside, not the outside world, right? So that's why Rumi says, yesterday I was smart, I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I am changing myself, right? So the same thing. Yesterday you wanted to change your family. Yesterday you wanted to change the world because you are smart. But today you are wise. Today you are adjusting yourself. You are changing within. You know that conflicts appears within. Outside world, somebody or something might die. They die once. But in your mind, that somebody or something might die 1,001 times. Again and again, you repeat that experience. Again and again, you suffer. Sometimes it feels like with time, the suffering is not reducing even. With time, it is more and more. And the suffering in mind is stronger than the actual experience even. They are called extreme dreaders. The actual incident is much more able to manage than the suffering in their mind, the worrying, thinking about this situation. Outside thing or people, they die once, but in your mind you repeat it 1,001 times, each time you suffer. Right? So that's the conflict within. That's why we say you have to change within. When you change within, the entire world will appear changed to you. You feel like your neighbors are meditating. You feel like your family members are meditating because you had changed within. So that's the real solution. That's the real answer. The noble ones, they change within, not the outside world. They live in this same world and it doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother them because they have changed within. They have changed their mind, not the outside world. The conflict is there in the outside world. It has been there forever. It will be there. So you change within. When you change within, no matter the world is on fire, no matter what other people do, no matter what's the economic situation in the country, you still are peaceful. You have peace in your mind. So that's the way. That's the way towards real peace. Otherwise, you achieve something, you are temporary peaceful. Within a day or within few hours, it's gone. Again, you start suffering. So change within. When you change within, you change, it feels like the outside world is also changed. So try to continue with your practice and try to see that how changing within can help you to be more and more peaceful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mante. Go ahead, Vandala.
Yes, I want to say thank you very much, Mante, for the advice.
Any further questions? Okay, I think we're coming to the end of the session as well. Bhante, I have a related question. If there's no time for it, we can take it up next time. The question from me is, actually it's related to Bandula's question as well. In relation to how much we change the world versus we change ourselves, if we look at history and society from time to time, in different countries, different times, we have seen how people, leaders, they have strived to change things for the better. These could be in relation to, could be women's rights, it could be racial rights, it could be more equality for people. Improving, reducing poverty. So people have undergone huge hardships to change society and the world for better. But also sometimes maybe people can try to do the best to change things for their local community at the village level, at the family level. So my question is, these are people who have strived to change things for the better. So how do you find that balance where you just accept things, accept injustice, accept unfairness, accept things that are not right, you know, whether it's corruption or whether it's something more more fundamental, versus striving for change, versus just saying, okay, this is the way of the world, so I'm just going to accept it. I would really value your sentiments. And if there's not enough time today, maybe we can discuss it another day. Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, Gihanta, right. So your idea is valid. We are not denying that there's a possibility to change the world. There's a potential to change the world. As you mentioned, some people, they have endured the hardships and changed the world for better. Right, things as you mentioned. Women's rights, various things, societies, they have changed, right? We are not denying that, right? It is valid. It has been there in the world. But we are talking about some kind of a lasting peace. Now, when you consider about those people, they had a sense of satisfaction in their life because they had achieved this. But did they achieve a lasting peace? It is a question. Right, it is questionable, right? So we are not denying that there is a potential to change the world for better. We are not denying that you can do good to the society. It's a valid option. It's there. It has been there in the world. Even today, you can. Although we see evil most of the time, there are people who do good. There are people who do good for their communities. There are people who are fighting for the rights. So that's good. We can't deny, right? But what we are mentioning is that if you are aiming for a lasting peace, if you are aiming for the dream, then you have to do this practice, right? In a way, you are creating peace within. Once you practice, once you create that peace within, it will be a silent sermon for the world. So that's why we say this is when there are two options, right? Good and evil is there. You choose good, of course, right? But when you want to go for the best, you have to let go of the good. Then move towards the lasting peace, right? So first, in the practice also, we select good out of good and evil. We select being mindful of the breath instead of the thoughts. We pick the sensations at feet intentionally instead of the thinking mind. That is selecting good. The evil is there, but you are selecting good. You are selecting the breath. It's a choice. You are selecting it. It's a choice that you are selecting the sensations at your feet. But with time, one day, there's an opportunity for you to let go of this good as well. When you let go of that good, then you truly become peaceful. That is the best thing that you can do for yourself. And that is the best thing that you can do for the world as well. Once you do it, once you have progressed in your practice, once you have attained a certain level of peace in your mind, you'll be giving a silent sermon to the world. The sermon of the noble ones. And when they hear that sermon, when they hear the teaching of the noble ones, it's life-changing for them. Even for the entire world, it's life-changing. But majority won't accept. Majority will go with the herd, of course. The herd is going in the wrong direction. But a few, a limited quantity, will hear this sermon, this silent sermon, hear this teaching, and they too try to find peace within. That is how it will continue. So we are not denying that there is this opportunity for you to do good. There is this opportunity for you to change the society. Of course, that's there. But we are aiming at a higher level, which is doing the best thing for you and for the world, right? So that might not be applicable for the majority of the society, but of course, a few will always select this path. Wise will always select this path. So you have to continue and you have to think about these things and find the best approach for you.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you very much. Namanta, over to you now to conclude the session.
Thank you, Gihanta, and much thanks to Gihanta and all the persons who wrote the reports, raised questions, and so, and also to Bhante for such insightful guidance and explanation. So, Bhante, would we have a few minutes for the talk, or should we skip the talk? It's Bhante's own choice.
Namanta, today it seems like we don't have time, right?
Yes, okay. Okay, Bhante, thank you so much. So with that, we will wrap up today's session. And as we had extended question and answers session, we will not have the talk on mindfulness for today. But I believe the content conveyed from Bhante would fill in the gap for any talk being missed for today. So it's not really a miss. So we would have the talk next week. So with that, this is a session, this is a program dedicated to providing mindfulness so that you can become more resilient in your mental strength, in your capability to go through life with a steady flow of energy and focus. And it is great to have Venerable Bhante joining us on this session, representing Nisaramane Forest Monastery. So on behalf of all of us, I would like to pass on merits to Bhante and wish that Bhante will succeed in progressing further into advanced, more advanced states of mindfulness through the merits and through the good work from this program. And with that, I would also like to mention with much regard the Chief Abbot of the Nisaramane Forest Monastery, the Most Venerable Udai Regama Dhammajiva Mahathero, for inviting this program to be initiated about 2 years or two and a half years back now. So with that, 2 years, 1.5 years ago. And also I would like to thank all the organizers who have initiated and maintained this program to date, and wish these merits will accrue and pass on to them and help them have a beneficial impact on their own mindfulness journeys of practice. Then I would also like to thank all those of you who have joined the session today, and it is because of you that we get Bhante to come out and speak on mindfulness like this, providing a solid reason for the program to sustain. Therefore, I would like to thank all of you who are joining through Zoom and also through the live stream, making this program a viable program for us to maintain. So thank you, and I pass on all merits to all of you and wish that you will have great success in your mindfulness practice into the future. Also, this program will continue to happen on next Saturday, same time. When global time zones change, you just should keep on mind that the program will always be starting at Sri Lankan time, 1 p.m. Because Bhante is joining the session from Sri Lanka, the time will always be 1 p.m. for this program. So you can Google Sri Lankan time and manage to understand what the exact time for, depending on your location, would be for you to join in. For Australia, it is 6:30 p.m. now, but when we move into winter time arrangements, it will be 5:30 p.m. So with that, I would like to wrap up the program and invite all of you to keep on joining next week and future all future programs as much as you can. And I would like to wish you a happy and a mindful week ahead, and until we see you in the next session. So thank you. I will end the Zoom session now. Until we see you next week.